your bags. It's the Feast of Fools. Summer is here and travel is on everyone's mind. Where should you go? Well, you're in luck. On today's show, we're joined by Joel Cabrera and Brian Herb of ZoomVacations.com, the award-winning gay travel company based out of Chicago.
Listen as we chat about the best gay beaches in the world.
Stay in shape when you're away from home.
Where are the more unusual travel destinations?
And an assortment of tips and tricks for the gay traveler. I'm Fausto Fornos.
I'm Mark Fillion. Stay tuned.
The Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous, fabulous, beautiful people just like you.
Without your support, we really couldn't do this show. So please visit feastoffools.net and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt today.
Hey, your tax return just came in the mail. Why not donate it to the Feast of Fools and help us make these shows more fabulous and keep them going strong? Thank you for your support.
Feast of Fools is also brought to you in part by ApparelBuilder.com.
Expose yourself.
ApparelBuilder is your source for custom printing and embroidery with brands like American Apparel, Nike, and Ping for up to 60% off.
Be fabulous with their online design studio. Create the perfect look for your sport team, club, or company. At your next party, give everyone their own t-shirt.
Wholesale pricing, retail quality.
Call 888-887-4254 or visit their website to chat live with an expert at apparelbuilder.com. On today's Feast of Fools, we have Brian Herb and Joel Cabrera from Zoom Vacations. They are a gay couple that work together and plan vacations for gay people. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
We're great. We work together and we play together.
Welcome to the show and vacation together.
And vacation together. How did you two meet each other?
Miami. On the street.
We went through a mutual friend in Miami. I used to live in New York, and so I was living with a friend of mine, and we were in Miami visiting, and Joel was also in Miami visiting from Chicago, and we met on the street.
But it wasn't love at first sight.
No.
Now,
it was love
at
second
like,
sight.
Did you guys look the way you do? Because you two are very attractive men.
Thanks.
And for the people who are wondering what they look like, they just can look at the album art on their iPods or go to their website, feastoffools.net, and you can see these guys are easy on the eyes.
Thank you.
But what I want to know, so who was doing the overture first? Was it you, Joel?
Well, see, the thing is, you know, remember I said love at first sight?
Are you the chaser or the chased?
I chased Brian down. He didn't want anything to do with me.
I had a lot going on that time.
But see, this is the thing. It's like you and I share something common. That I'm Puerto Rican, and we fell in love with an Americano.
Right.
Oh, sí.
And the thing is, like, you know, and it's like if you see a man, it's like, you know, how they said in the Three Amigos, if you want food, you just take the food. Mm-hmm. If you want tequila, you just take tequila.
Right.
And when you see a hot man, you just grab him. And
right. Well, yeah. No, I mean, for me, it was, I really, really liked Brian the minute I met him. And, well, the second time, because the first time we met on the street in Miami,
really
it was sort of like
a
bye-bye. And then we ran into each other in New York, same mutual friend that introduced us. And I thought, this guy's really cool. And he was a teacher in New York, and my mom is a teacher, so there was an immediate connection there. I mean, I sort of understood. I had a lot of respect for him right away because of that.
What did you teach?
I taught a high school English in inner city New York.
Wow.
Oh, so your grammar is immaculate.
It should be, but it's not. After
teaching. And so Joel was relentless in his pursuit of
him. He was.
And just wouldn't give up. And you're like, I'm sorry, I can't see you tonight, and I can't do it.
Well,
and
you know, it was one of those circuit parties.
And dance party.
There are a lot of great-looking guys running all over the place. The music's playing, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's right, because you first met at the white party.
The winter party.
The winter party. And then you met in New York at the
it
black party.
It was a circuit romance.
Straight. How many colored parties do you need to go to a year?
At least 500.
Well, and so you guys were meeting. A lot of people may not understand or be aware what a circuit party is. So can you explain to that?
Usually a circuit party is a weekend of different dance events that take place in a different city, and people come from all over the world to attend the whole weekend of dance parties, and they're kind of called the circuit. So some people who are, if they want to, quote, like, do the circuit, they could go to the winter party in Miami, then go to the white party in Palm Springs, and there's different parties that take place at different times of the year. They go to black and blue in Montreal.
Why do they call it the circuit, though? Because you're traveling around the country, or?
Yeah.
Because it was literally a circuit. I mean, there was just a Yeah, a circuit. I mean, they just went, they're one after the other.
A series.
Like, yeah, a series. Yeah. And like a circuit board, or like you run a circuit, those kinds of things.
And well, maybe it also had something to do with like digital technology and sort of the appeal of being futuristic in a sense.
It's also a sports term, too. When you do a certain routine, it's a circuit.
Yeah, like at the health club, when you do the circuit, you run, you go from one machine to the other.
Right. And it was sort of a socialization circuit.
Absolutely.
Our company was kind of born out of the circuit in a way.
Yeah.
Because of your interest in travel?
Right, because a lot of people travel around the world to attend these circuit parties, and we were realizing that just like we wanted more out of these events, we knew that our travel, other people wanted more than just going to these circuit parties, and that nowadays, like especially in the last 5 to 10 years, there is more available to gay people living around the world. The world's become a more accepting place, and we can have the kind of experiences that we used to only be able to have at these circuit events. We can have those all over the world in a more, I would say, in a more meaningful way.
Right. And, I mean, and let's face it, circuit parties are not cheap. And
what's so expensive about them?
Just crystal meth.
Well, the tickets, the flight, the hotel,
the crystal meth.
But
they had a reputation though for being this like sort of drug dens, and a lot of people sort of are saying now that the reason that they're not as popular is because people just got tired of hanging out with hot guys. But at the end of the day, there were hot guys who used a lot of drugs.
Well, listen, I think, you know, I don't want to make value judgments. To each his own. Everybody's, you know, they're adults and you make your own decisions.
But you're saying that they're not as popular today because...
Because people have outgrown them to some extent. I'm not saying everybody, but I personally have outgrown it. I mean, I think there was a time when I was younger, like when Brian and I met, that we needed to go to circuit parties to feel like we were part of a community. And I don't need to go to a circuit party anymore. But but if people want to go, fine. I just don't need to.
Because I could spend all night watching you guys dance with your shirts off.
Yep.
I mean,
but that
a little
pole dancing. See, the thing
free
is
at midnight. I don't know what you're doing there, but
woo! We're having a circuit party here at the Feast of Fools. Oh yeah! Now this is the theme song to your business.
Yes.
Zoom Vacations. Who put this thing together?
This is a fantastic singer named Jenna Sanders. She's amazing, out of New York.
I don't understand. Like, so what are you doing? Are you playing this like when people get on the airplane, or?
We'll play it at different times during our events. We'll also, after we do one of our trips, I will create a movie of the experience, and then this will be the background music for the movie.
So if the movie has to be upbeat, you play this theme. But if you want to make it more romantic, you have the.
Like meaningful moment.
Let's listen to this one here. This is a Zoom Vacations ballad.
Zoom away, girl,
play it. This song will get in everyone's head.
Can you feel the love?
No, but sometimes we'll be in the office and it's all quiet, and suddenly I hear Joelle. Zoom away.
Well, because we're going to zoom was taken.
Well, we're always singing our theme songs around the house. So
I am always singing a theme song. You know?
That Zoom Away song, though, really gets in our heads, though. And I'll be like outside in the yard doing something. And like before I realize what I'm singing, I'm blasting.
Now, the person that sang that, is that somebody that takes one of your trips?
She sings also. She sang the theme song for the Alegria dance event that takes place generally in New York. And
she's that chick in the white dress. At the Cirque du Soleil show?
No, it's not Cirque du Soleil.
Or the one
Allegria.
In the black dress.
Another Allegria.
Another Allegria, a gay Allegria.
Oh, gay. They did two shows.
A gayer than
we were. We're the official travel provider for the guests of Allegria in Rio. So Allegria went to Rio and they did a huge, huge dance event. And we were the travel provider for them. So Jana was at our hotel. We put her up at the hotel, and we just got to know her really well. And she, you know, partook in some more tours. And she's fantastic.
She was
just
a talent for Allegria.
Yeah, she's a talent.
She was a talent.
So there's a study that just came out this week a survey saying that gay people, despite the bad economy, they're still going on their vacations.
Oh, absolutely.
But they're just cutting them a little bit shorter than their heterosexual counterparts. Why is it so important for gay people to travel?
It's in our blood. I mean,
it's in our DNA.
Exploration recreation?
Well, I think when you go to a cocktail party, the main thing that I hear people talk about is travel. I mean, even though we're in the travel industry, maybe we're more sensitive to it, but I still think that that's the main conversation I always hear. People talk about where they've been, where they're going. If you're not going anywhere or you haven't been anywhere, I don't know.
It gives us our bragging rights. I mean, seriously, gay people are pioneers. We go to the best places first. We make them hip and cool. And then everybody else follows.
So, Joel, let's do a little role playing. So, I'm at a party with you here. And so, we're listening to this. Hey, what's your name?
Joel.
Hi, Joel. My name is Secret.
Hey, Secret. This is my nickname.
And this is my friend Fausto here. I just got back from hanging out in Saugatuck, Michigan. Where have you been?
You mean like lately or in the last 6 months?
Where did you go to?
We just got back Rio, Nicaragua. Nicaragua.
Can I be his buddy who's next to him also?
Yeah,
I was back from Nicaragua.
Oh, what's your name?
Oh, hi. I'm Sebastian.
Hi, Sebastian.
Hi.
You're very handsome.
Thanks
a
lot.
Are you single?
Yes.
Ooh.
But really, guys, what is the hot gay destination? Where are people going these days that they haven't gone to so much in the past?
Well, I think Rio, people have been going to, but it remains really, really hot. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree, Joel?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Buenos Aires has been somewhat hot, and that's the thing that's getting hotter and hotter, mm-hmm. especially since it's like one of the few places you can go right now where the dollar is strong.
Right.
And it kind of, you know, Argentina and Buenos Aires in particular has everything the gay men love.
Well, the U.S. dollar is strong in Argentina. Man, their economy must be in trouble.
You know, it is really bad because it used to be, you know, 10 years ago, Buenos Aires was as expensive as Paris, New York, and all these other places.
I was there.
So it wasn't a place you'd necessarily want to travel before, but now it's affordable.
There's fantastic hotels, incredible food, great wine, fantastic mm-hmm. shopping.
It kind of has a feel of, from what I've been reading, that early in the 90s, people moved to the Czech Republic, to Prague, and were hanging out there because it was very cheap. And now a lot of people are going to Buenos Aires and doing it because you can rent an apartment for like $600. Where can you do that here? You know,
you're right.
And
so it's like if you guys help actually people rent an apartment, and if they want to say, hey, I want to, because I wouldn't know the first thing about doing that.
We do group tours to Buenos Aires. So like I'm leading a group tour in November 3rd, I believe.
November 7th
to the 14th. So we'll do 5 days in Buenos Aires. Then we go to Iguazu Falls for 2 nights. So I've got a group of about 20 guys who are going with us, and their trip will entail a lot of the things from we'll learn tango dancing, we'll actually go visit a huge tango
we'll be gay tango dancing.
Oh, when we're there it is. Yeah. it's so much fun though. Yeah, but it's kind of one of the things that sounds interesting, but when you're really doing it, it's hysterical because none of us can.
Which one of you puts the rose in the mouth and pulls it from the other?
Everyone does that. I mean, you can't even, I don't think it's possible to dance tango without putting the rose in your mouth.
You look pretty gay when you're dancing flamenco.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty gay.
Can you take flamenco classes in Costa Rica or probably?
Do I?
No, would you?
But guess. November also too has got to be a great month to go to Argentina too because it's springtime.
Oh, yeah. The jacaranda trees are blooming, so it's purple flowers all over the city.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people don't realize tango actually originated as a dance between men.
Yeah, men dancing. True. Yep.
Tango was with men?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Women weren't really, I mean, for practical purposes, weren't really allowed out of the house in the evenings to do that.
To go dancing?
Yeah, so men would dance with each other and learn how to do these great moves. And
so it was like a dance-off.
I think maybe it was in a sense. In the early days, yeah.
So who wins in the dance-off between? Because, you know, you guys work together, you sleep together, you travel together. You see each other every single day.
Yes.
That's right.
And you guys obviously...
How do you not kill him?
Yeah.
There's, you know, yeah, those moments. Absolutely.
You know, we actually really enjoy working together because I think it would be worse if we didn't.
Absolutely.
You know, imagine me saying, hi, okay, honey, I'm going to Rio for New Year's or going to Carnival. I'm going to Sydney,
Mardi Gras. Okay, I got to put on my suit and go to the office.
Yeah,
I'll see you later.
So, right. That was horrible.
You know, we get to do all those things that we love. I mean, we love travel.
Well, are you usually doing the guided tours? Are you guys together on those tours or usually do separate tours?
Most of the time we're together.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for some of the gay couples that are thinking of starting their own businesses?
Oh, well, communication is so important. But it's really communicating about what you each want to get out of the career together, and also what you're each willing to put in to the career together,
and stay focused.
Yeah, and so never what happens when the communication breaks down?
Oh yeah,
take a break.
Okay, go on vacation, on Zoom vacation.
Well, we do spend a lot of time together, and you know, every once in a while we will lead a trip by ourselves. Like I'm leading the one to Buenos Aires, and he'll be back in the States, and then he'll be leading Peru, I believe, by yourself, and I'll be back in the States. Right. And that's nice. And people always say, oh, aren't you going to miss them? No. I mean, it's good to have, you know, it is. No matter who it is, you want time just to be your own person for the moment. And I think that's really important.
And stand on your own 2 feet, because it's like you get that separation anxiety that can lead to unhealthy codependency.
I mean, when you're away from each other, it gives you the chance to miss each other, absolutely. But you know what's also great about working together is that, like, there's so many times when we're working that I just get really impressed by Joel, and it's sexy. Like I just think he's so good at what he does, and that's, to me, that's hot. And I would never normally get to experience that if he had a different job. I may visit him in the office, whatever, but I wouldn't really.
What's Daddy doing today?
You're right. Like the ideas he comes up with and the way he handles himself, I'm just constantly really impressed.
So Latin America is the hot place to go. Peru, Costa Rica. What is, like, the of all the places in, is Argentina really the place to go?
I would say right now, yeah.
Really?
I mean, you know,
because a plane trip is going to kill me. I mean, that's like 8 hours, or how much does it cost to fly?
It's like flying to Europe. It's the same flight time,
yeah,
isn't it?
But less jet lag. And no jet
lag. But it's cheaper, though, because once you get there, it's like the cost goes down. Like if I was going to San Juan, Puerto Rico versus Buenos Aires, Argentina, which one would be cheaper?
Oh, Buenos Aires would be cheaper.
Buenos Aires for sure.
And you might have
it's like half the price, everything, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like once a bottle of wine is like $6.
And a bottle of wine here at the grocery store is $6 too, Mark.
I know, but like out of the restaurant, is it $6?
And it's like delicious. Like the best Malbec, so good.
Mm-hmm. They have wonderful wines down there, beef, steaks, stuff like that. I can't wait to go.
So what happens if I'm like in Latin Central America during the months of, let's say, August through November, and a hurricane strikes, because that happens,
right?
And sometimes you can't go, you know, you can't change your plane ticket and you're stuck in Puerto Rico or in Costa Rica and there's a hurricane happening. How do you deal with bad weather?
Well, I usually call Donatella Versace and have her send her private plane to pick me up.
She can't fly through a hurricane, no matter how fabulous you look in pumps.
Listen, when you know Donatella, she makes things happen.
She can make it happen. She can teleport you out of there.
She controls the weather.
But seriously, I mean, what am I going to do if I can't go to the beach?
Well, one of my favorite words is spa. And that's one.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Take the time just to pamper yourself for a day in the spa. Every city, no matter where you're going, has great museums. And sometimes you go to a destination like Rio de Janeiro, which is so known for being a beach town, that you never get to go to the museums or the other little areas that you don't go to because, oh, the beach is right there and there's caipirinhas right on the beach. And when the weather's bad, it gives you that excuse to do some of the things you wouldn't normally do. And that's how, I think, in some ways, how we found some of the incredible places within the destinations we visit.
Right.
And what are some of the lesser known travel destinations within the United States? Because everybody knows about Provincetown, Miami, San Francisco, New York
City. San Juan.
Yeah,
Puerto Rico.
Do you think San Juan's gay? I see. Every time I go to Puerto Rico with Fausto, they take me to this horrible gay bar, the Atlantic Beach Hotel.
He almost spit out his coffee.
Five gay people sitting there at a table in the corner, and I think to myself, what are we doing here? We could be in Argentina.
I think Puerto Rico's really gay friendly.
It's
gay friendly, but I wouldn't go there for like a hip hop and gay time necessarily, right, Joel?
Well, I mean, Puerto Rico does have a pretty vibrant gay nightlife. I mean, probably the most in the Caribbean.
Yeah. We just did a survey of all of our Zoom alumni and asked them the places they want to go within the States. And, I mean, Puerto Rico was clear, far and away winner.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it just happens that we're both from Puerto Rico, Joel.
That's right.
Of course, Joel was so excited getting the responses back. And
When I go to Puerto Rico,
where should I go? Because Fausto always takes me to that horrible hotel. I want to know where to go in Puerto Rico for a good gay time.
Well, Joel may not be the person to ask, because Joel always takes me to visit his family members.
And see? So you feel my pain, right?
And I love it. That's right. His family's awesome, but like we will see a lot of family.
Actually, we're going to Puerto Rico in a couple of days, and so we're going to be doing some research for our upcoming trip, because we're doing a trip to Puerto Rico.
Yep.
And I do know that Ocean Park, the beach, is a great place.
Osterias del Mar.
Has a great gay section.
The museum,
so that's a great place to go.
Mm-hmm. Right, Joel? The museum in Ponce.
The museum in Ponce. There's some cafes in Old San Juan.
The museum in Ponce, what? You cruise like the
Amadeus
bathroom?
Cafe. Right.
The Museum of Modern Art in Ponce is what they're referring to.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Vieques?
And there's a new one in San Juan as well. Vieques.
Fantastic museum.
Mark my words, Vieques is going to be one of the very gay-friendly places around. The W Hotel, which is very hip and chic, is opening soon.
The gays love their W.
You know, one of my favorite things about the Museum of Modern Art in San Juan right now is, I'm not sure if this exhibit's still happening, is their tribute to the early days of television in Puerto Rico and broadcast journalism and entertainment.
Iris Chacon.
Before Iris Chacon.
But I'm sure she'll be like, there, right?
Well, pictures, she's not there.
There are pictures
in person,
of her.
Is there like
ass.
A wax out. Version of her? Like.
The giant. No, explain.
We love watching Iris Chacon on YouTube.
Oh my God.
She's on YouTube?
She's all over YouTube.
God. Oh, yeah. YouTube is the home to Iris Chacon. She's sort of have a second career on YouTube. But what's interesting about the exhibit is that there's a lot of footage and television commercials from days, you know, from the early 70s, late 60s, Popa? And 50s.
Remember
all
Popa?
That stuff. Great comedians like Agrelot. You know, you have to be speak Spanish, but they do have subtitles for the English speakers. Mm-hmm. And it really is interesting, the cultural ramifications of how television came to be in a time period where Puerto Rico was culturally much more isolated from the United States. Mm. You know, and one of the things that you can notice is that the Hilton Hotel, which is in Old San Juan, the Caribe Hilton, used to be a television studio.
Really?
and they used to tape El Show de Iris Chacon there every single week.
Wow.
And so you can go in there, have a cocktail, it's the home, they call it the home of the Piña Colada, which I don't think it is, but that's an Old San Juan. So
it's
there's
on the peninsula,
contest.
Right? Kind of the Hilton is that on the...
It's in a little peninsula, yeah. And there's a ruins,
fort,
and it's really
right?
fantastic mm-hmm. place if you can afford to
we
stay there.
We have the
there.
Beach towel if you want to look at it.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, yeah. I stole the beach towel from it. It's they have the most wonderful beach towel.
Well, I'm stealing this Wonder Woman mug by the time before we leave.
You
so
can't
I
have that.
Rocks.
We'll give you a Feast of Fools
we'll
mug.
We'll give you a Feast of Fools mug.
Well, let me ask you though, how do you guys handle travel like in a country that isn't necessarily known for gay travel? Like, you know, I don't know where you've been to, like Guatemala, for example. I wouldn't think that would have a hopping like gay scene.
Yeah, no. It's, I mean, I don't think it does have a hopping gay scene. Nor does Peru. There's a decent gay nightlife in Lima, but it's not like, you know, what you'd be used to in Miami or New York or LA or Chicago.
Few places are.
I got picked up by a Marine when I was in
Peru.
A Peruvian Marine.
But I think that
he asked me for the time on the street, but I hadn't known. He told me days later that he'd been stalking me for blocks.
Wow. it would be horrible though to miss an opportunity of going to Machu Picchu in Peru, just because it's not, you know, it doesn't have a huge gay scene. And I think that's one of the benefits of going with a gay group to these places, because you can go and really, really be yourself and still be around gay people, even in an area that's normally not very
gay. It's not very gay. And when I hooked up in Cusco, too, I just think that, too, when you're traveling, you know, to these places that aren't necessarily gay, you know, you have to kind of find out the lay of the land. And if somebody's making eye contact or something, that means they're...
I saw more gay people
ready for action
on the top of Machu Picchu. The first time I went to Peru, I found more gay people on the top of Machu Picchu than I did in Lima. Like, literally, there was, I got to the top and there was like,
now were they Peruvians or they were tourists?
They were tourists.
Well, everybody likes to go to Machu Picchu to get up there in the high altitude.
But Guatemala too. Guatemala is similar to Peru in the sense it has these amazing architectural ruins and remains, and the ruins of Tikal in Guatemala are really spectacular. You're not going to go there you don't go there for the gay nightlife. You know, just like you don't go like I mentioned Rio earlier. Rio has great museums, but you don't go to Rio for museums. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to London for museums. You go to Cairo for museums. Paris.
Well, do you find that that's kind of a problem with some of the gay tourists? Because I think a lot of gay people, when they go, they think they're going to go party it up in Miami, or they're going to go to San Francisco and not necessarily find some of the cultural things. Or do you find people?
Well, do
people
you need
that,
to find the cultural things? Don't you just want to have a good time?
That's what I'm saying.
Question.
But do you find like a lot of people are like, oh, I'm not, you know, I want to go on this because I'm not going to party? Or how do you handle that dichotomy? I guess.
Well, different trips pertain to different people for the trips that we offer. Like we go to Rio during New Year's and Carnival, and there's a lot of partying to be done, a lot. And even Buenos Aires, great nightlife. But Peru, people don't go there because they want to party. People go to Peru because they're very, very interested in the Inca history and the Quechua culture, and of course Machu Picchu and Cusco. People go to Guatemala for a similar reason. The travelers that we get who go to those destinations aren't going because it's a gay Mecca, but they want to go and feel like they can be themselves. And they want to go in a comfortable, modern, you know, way, like with a tour group that has kind of a gay sensibility.
So, when's your first trip to the Middle East?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. That's a good question.
Is that a safe place to go? Because I don't think Fausto and I could travel there. Because if they just Googled our name when they went in, they're like, you're in jail.
Get out of here.
They're like, gay podcasters.
If you search for the word gay in Wikipedia, my name appears.
Is that right?
So, I mean, you know, if your name is synonymous with the word gay, you can't travel to places where they imprison you, would you?
Well, you know, I don't. First of all,
Sir Elton John, can he go to, you know, Afghanistan?
I don't think he'd want to.
Well, I mean, I was reading Michael Luongo's Gay Trials in the Middle East.
Do they have a Four Seasons there?
Right. They do, actually. So. I mean, there are some really distinguished hotels in the Middle East. I mean, it's like, I mean, do you think like places like China and India are a little... It's Afghanistan, honey. It starts with the word ass.
Do they... No Four Seasons in Afghanistan, therefore no
it
Elton John
in Afghanistan.
Well, I mean, you know, if I want to go to the Middle East, what is my safest bet? What is like, where am I going to have the best time?
There are a lot of places.
I think you should hop over nearby and go to India personally.
I want to go to the Middle East because I'm gay and Middle Eastern, and I don't have any ties to the Middle East, and I want to investigate that part of my existence.
Well, probably Dubai. Dubai is probably.
Is that where they have those islands?
That's where Michael Jackson lives. Isn't that where Michael Jackson
is? No, he lives
in Saudi Arabia. He went to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
he lives in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know if he does live there anymore. But
he doesn't live in Saudi Arabia. He lives some other place. Oh. But Dubai is a good place.
Well, I say Dubai because Dubai has a lot of foreigners. And so if you want to. I mean, there's some gay nightlife. Life there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are places like Lebanon that have an underground gay life. Israel, for sure.
Yeah, Israel, for sure.
Egypt, you have to be a
Jordan.
Careful. I mean, the Middle East is very tricky. Very, very tricky. I mean, I don't think it's ready for prime time in terms of gay travel.
Israel has a lot to offer gay
Asia,
groups,
however,
gay people.
Like India and China, they're ready to pop. I mean, they're really ready to start.
In more ways than one.
Well, especially I would think with China, with that one child rule, and they have all those single boys and stuff, that there's probably going to be a hopping gay nightlife because they don't have any girls to screw. So they're going to be like prison gays, though.
The Middle East, if
whatever,
they're gonna force feminize you. That's what they're gonna do.
Are you joking?
I mean, no. Well, you know about their one child rule, right? And so people are aborting the female
child. Just because you're not having kids doesn't mean you're.
They don't have kids, so there's there's a bunch
sex.
Of there's, you know,
well, they gotta do
their population
right.
is like over 50 percent male.
There's more men than there is women. So either the women have to be polyamorous or the guys go gay.
Yeah.
Polyamorous, that was great.
That they're having more than
one lover.
So lesbianism is in short supply.
Yes, there's no lesbians in China.
Are there? I've seen that, the Beijing Women's Conference would make a difference.
You mean like there are no gay people in Iran?
In Iran.
Right, none.
Well, because women are in such short supply that sort of like lesbians feel pressure to
sort of supply like their
men.
Wheat or corn or something or oil.
Something like that.
Lesbianism
very
is a
expensive
commodity.
Right now.
It's a commodity.
Well, so our guest right now, we're talking to Brian Herb. And Joel Cabrera.
I told you, didn't I?
Yeah, I messed it up. Brian Herb from ZoomVacations.com, the award-winning gay travel company. Mm-hmm. So you guys won the Plan Out Award for Best Tour Operator.
Yes.
That's I don't know what that means.
Plan It Out is a gay consortium company that they used to own gay.com and Out.
The Advocate and Out and stuff like that.
Right, yep.
And they free ads for them. And free blog.
Who owns Plan It Out now, do you know? I don't even know.
Here.
Here bought them.
I don't know.
Here bought
Advocate
and Out.
So Plan It Out, is that still part of gay.com? I'm confused.
Gay.com is still part of Plan It Out.
Okay.
They're owned by Jesus. So, I mean, how'd you guys, like, do you feel that... You know, you gave us a question to ask you here is what is the key to your success? I mean, in a sense, how does even a company become eligible for an award like that? Is it they were just happy with the packages or how was that?
Well, we've had people from their company on our trips.
On your trips.
Yes. And they've seen us around we go to the International Gay and Lesbian Travel Convention or International Gay and Lesbian Travel Association convention every year for the past 5 years. I just got elected to be the board chairman for
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so the Plan It Out people are at the convention too. So you get to know each other a lot. And also they do their research too. They talk to travelers, they talk to other people in the industry. And that's how, I guess that's how they decide. They've got a panel of judges who decide.
I mean, it's a small... The gay travel world is a relatively small travel community, and people talk. I mean, it's really big, but yet it's small enough that people really do talk.
But then we also won the Reader's Choice Award.
So when something really good happens, they talk. When things that aren't so good happen, they also talk. So I think...
So they're gossipy.
No, like everything else, but I think...
Did you hear? There's,
I mean, we work really hard, and we work really hard to make sure that there's a good buzz about what we do mm-hmm. and that we do the right thing. And you know what? Just to answer your question, you said, oh, what's one of the most difficult things about, you know, when you travel together? One of the things that we do is, you know, we're always like... trying to upgrade our trip, sometimes to the detriment mm-hmm. Of our wallet, because, you know, well, like Sydney, perfect example. We just did a gay Mardi Gras trip there for 40 people, and we had promised on our website and to everyone that had signed up that we would give them tickets to see the parade in a seated area,
like risers, reserved, like bleachers.
Bleachers, and then these new seats became available, a VIP section, fully catered, open bar. I mean, amazing, but the tickets cost twice as much, and we decided, you know what? We know ourselves. We don't want to be in the bleachers looking over at the VIP section and wondering why are we not here, and neither do our guests. So for everybody that had already signed up, which was about 3/4, you know, 30 of the 40 had already signed up, we sent them an email, and we said, listen, this is our gift to you. We're upgrading this night for you guys.
We do that a lot.
So you took that at your own expense.
Absolutely. We didn't
I'm
go
traveling
back.
With these guys.
We didn't charge them anymore.
I was
for
like
doing
going
that.
To Brazil.
But we knew it was the right thing to do, and we do that all the time.
How exciting! That's exciting.
We always try to under promise and over deliver. Like that's mm-hmm. been our mainstay ever since we started.
Let me ask you too, because we always worry, because when we travel, you know, from time to time, it's hard to like work out and go to the gym and stuff. Yeah. How do you stay? Because you guys have fantastic bodies. You know, flex your guns for me real quick.
It's well said.
Girl, wow. Look at that. It's the size of a cantaloupe. Now, are these guys,
how do you guys,
like, you guys
stay
guys
in shape when you travel?
You're 6'2", 200 mm-hmm. pounds of solid studs. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's,
I'm never
and it's something you intentional do. You don't have to leave. You can stay as long as you want to.
He's mine.
Brian Herb. Herb.
I love it when he pronounces the H.
So I mean, what can I do as a gay man? Because I want to look good for Carnival, for Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I think one of my big tips and what I try to do is, I think people, when they think about working out, you got to take the word work out of it, because it just sounds like, I'm on vacation,
make
I don't want to work out. You should do something that's fun. You should
yeah,
try to.
Yeah, squatting is a workout.
That's a work. That's why you shouldn't do it. Maybe you don't do that on vacation.
Maybe
but
if
do
you
things
squat
that
over
are fun.
Like on the beach.
But like, yeah, like in Rio de Janeiro, there is this really, really, really sexy spot on the beach in Ipanema towards Copacabana Beach, where they have all this outdoor equipment, outdoor like mm-hmm. bars and stuff. And you maybe wouldn't have as intense a workout as you'd have back home, but it's still enough to keep, you know, the calories off that you burn that day, and still enough to kind of keep you maintain.
So you're
kind of
do like
level.
A light workout.
Yeah, but
Tinker.
You go there during sunset. It's tremendous. I mean, really tremendously beautiful. The waves are crashing below you. There are hot, 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 hot Brazilians all around you with their wearing Speedos, working out. I'm like, it's fun. Like, I would rather be there working out with them.
You should see the smile on his face. It's from like ear to ear.
It's, like,
no, it's so nice.
Store.
It is so. Like, it's beautiful. It's fun. It's sexy. It's like, I'm not.
Well, what if I'm not in Ipanema? Let's say I'm in Buenos Aires, or, you know, I'm at Machu Picchu.
Buenos Aires, like we took a group there. The last trip, and a lot of guys just went jogging along the river. There's a beautiful river in Buenos Aires, and it was a great way to see the city too. I mean, try to make it like that. Like, we would, a group of us of about 6 or 8 would every day work out together too. And when you're doing it together, then it no longer feels like
it's
a workout.
Social.
It feels like a social time, and you're laughing, and you know, like a couple of guys on the treadmill, a couple of us doing push-ups, and we're all like visiting and talking about our workouts and stuff. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm taking a break from my vacation to work out. It was part of the vacation. It was part of the fun, really. And then, you know, Machu Picchu, you hike all over the place. I mean, there's stuff you can do.
Well, it's hard in that low altitude, though, or high altitude.
Well, and in Puerto Rico and in Yunque, just mm-hmm. traveling around those waterfalls, it's
yeah.
like, that's a workout. If you yeah. sprint back up from the from the rainforest.
We were just in Nicaragua, and we hiked the volcano, which was really fun.
So fun.
And then your ass hurts the next day.
My
and from the hiking too.
My butt and my legs, they were so sore.
And he wasn't even hiking.
Massaging.
And then the hiking was brutal too. So if I'm cruising, you know, these Latin American countries or in China, India, I mean, I'm at the beach,
right?
And I see a hot guy,
right?
And he's staring at me.
What country are you in?
I don't know. Let's talk about hypothetically Chicago, Illinois at Hollywood Beach.
All right.
No. Let's talk about, let's see, in San Juan, Puerto Rico, in front of the El. What are some of the cruisy beaches of the world? If I want to meet a guy that's hot, like you said, in Brazil,
Yeah, Ipanema Beach, for
the
sure.
The Ipanema Beach in Brazil is number one on that list. What
one
is the hottest,
especially during Rio, during New Year's
gay
Carnival?
Beach? I want to meet the
What's
man
the
of my dreams.
What's the gayest beach in the world?
Mr. Right Now.
Is well, it, Ipanema doesn't get any.
I mean, it doesn't get hotter, so it's
gayer, hot, cruisier than that.
But other than but in America, it would probably be what, Miami, South Beach.
Yeah, I would say so. I would think so. Yeah, yeah.
South sure. Beach.
Yeah. Sure. Why and then get, what,
why
Fire
are
Island,
guys
of course,
in
too.
Such good
Fire
shape Island, in yeah. South Beach? Because like if you go to Hollywood Beach. Here in Chicago,
well, we've
it's
got
anything
like,
but Hollywood. You know what I'm saying?
For 9 months of the year in Chicago,
Hollywood.
We're wearing a
Hollywood. It's
wearing
only by
frocks.
Name, not by the game.
It's actually Kathy Osterman Beach.
Have you seen Kathy Osterman?
I love my beach, but it should be. I mean, people should call it what it is:
the Polar Bear Express,
the Osterman Beach.
No, there's some hot guys.
There's some
there.
Hot guys.
Of course there are. There's going to be hot guys everywhere.
You can like. There's some people on our YouTube that sit there. On the beach with their little cell phone video cameras and videotape all the hot guys.
Oh, bless their hearts.
And so these poor people are like playing volleyball and then they're putting up their images on YouTube anonymously. So where can I do that and not be thrown in jail?
Well, yeah, people have video cameras in Ipanema Everywhere. Beach and Rio all the time.
So Ipanema Beach is the hot place.
And is it a nude beach?
Then South Beach in Miami.
Not... Outside of Rio, there is a new
but it's,
beach.
It's topless,
but
right?
Really,
or no, for women.
It's for men, too, but you wouldn't really go you wouldn't really go there because it's just far away. Okay.
You know,
but
the Zungas are so little. I mean, it may as well be.
Yeah, and in Rio, you're constantly adjusting.
What did you call them?
Zungas. Zungas are the Brazilian bikinis.
Oh, Zungas.
Other,
I knew, learned a new word today.
Other really great gay beaches are Bondi Beach in Sydney is, of course, very gay.
How do you spell that?
B-O-N-D-I.
Manuel Antonio in Costa Rica.
What?
Manuel Antonio.
Manuel Antonio, La Playita, which means the little beach. Yeah. In Manuel Antonio, Costa Rica. Clifton Beach in Cape Town. During New Year's can be beautiful.
That's South Africa, right?
That is a long trip to go to Africa.
Oh, but it's
worth it. It's worth it.
I mean, that
because the men are beautiful.
Does not disappoint.
I'd love to go to Africa.
Where is it in South Africa? Where is it?
Yeah, in Cape Town.
But what's the name of the beach?
Clifton.
Clifton. So there's your top five. Ipanema Beach, Brazil, South Beach, Miami,
Mykonos.
Bondi, and Sindhi.
And then Mykonos, yeah.
Well, Mykonos. Yeah.
Mykonos is
and then also Sitges.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of Barcelona.
I heard Rimini
is
in Italy
huge.
Is very gay, too. Rimini?
So,
it's fun to say.
I think
say
you guys are going
Rimini.
A little fast, so the listeners can't catch up here.
Oh,
Mykonos in Greece.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the other places?
Sitges in Spain, near Barcelona.
Sitges.
Mm-hmm. I have an ashtray from there. My mother gave me an ashtray. I don't know what my mother was doing in Sitges, but...
So of all those places that we mentioned, besides, is Ipanema Beach your favorite?
My favorite.
Brian, what about you, Joel?
As far as beaches are concerned? Yeah probably. Yeah.
Definitely. You know,
in terms of gay beaches, I mean, there's more beautiful beaches around the world, but in terms of the gay,
I mean, there you can get it all. I mean, you can get you can have a caipirinha, you can get a boyfriend,
you can get tattoos,
you can buy zungas, you can get a massage,
you can get a German sex tourist.
I mean, absolutely.
Well, there's some people that do just travel to the places where the hot guys are.
Oh yeah, sure. Why not?
And like German tourists love to go to Cuba. Because they, what is that?
Germans love sex holidays. That's,
they do sex holidays.
If they're going on vacation, it's to have sex with foreigners.
What about going to Cuba? Is that? I mean, it's because Castro's kind of retired. They're opening up. The daughter's taking over. She's very pro gay rights.
The daughter.
And the daughter. The brother.
The daughter. Well, she's kind of getting involved politically.
Well, that's the AIDS activist person. That's
she's the one
else.
Who just organized a huge gay
that's
rights
the niece.
Rally.
That's
or the
great.
Was it the niece?
Yeah, that's. I think that's Fidel's
it's
niece.
It's someone's daughter.
I love
somebody's
it.
Daughter.
Somebody's daughter.
But I think like that's Cuba's kind of opening up to become a gay tourism place, and certainly, I see that lifting soon.
But,
it's
off.
You're shaking
limits.
Your head now.
Well, because they're business people. They can't go to Cuba as a business.
Oh, you can't endorse it?
No. Well, I mean,
well, I could.
We can endorse it, but we can't take it.
If I, as a gay tourist, like, so if a customer comes to you and say, I want to go to Cuba.
Nope.
You say no?
I can't take you there.
We left off a gay beach, though. This more important thing is Puerto Vallarta is also a huge, huge gay beach. Mm-hmm. Like by the Blue Doors Hotel, that's another big gay beach I forgot to mention.
But just to clarify with the Cuban situation, because you're an American-based business, you can't do business with Cuba, but I mean, so how do tourism come? Because there's
we're the only country that I think that boycotts them like that, or one of the few. So if you're a Mexican tourist company, or if you're a European
Canadian.
Or English or Canadian, you can go
you're
to
fine.
Cuba. And as an American, I think you can go to Cuba, but you have to go someplace
go
else
country
first. You have to go
first.
To either Canada or Santo Domingo or something like that.
What about Santo Domingo?
And hookers are really cheap in Cuba. They're like 10 bucks, I heard.
That's on all the tourism advertisements for Cuba.
Really?
And cheap hookers.
The cheap hookers in Cuba. But so, I mean, what about Santo Domingo or some of the sort of lesser known places in the Caribbean?
It's like not Aruba. As, to be honest, it's not as big. I mean, certainly you could go and have a great time, but for a gay life, no.
Right, especially because I think the Caribbean is very homophobic in general.
Not as gay as other places.
Is just, you know, they're always, you know, trying to kill people.
Is Jamaica bad for gays? I mean,
Jamaica. There are gay businesses in Jamaica, and I know they, you know, need all our support to help them continue with what they're doing. So I would hate to say, oh, it's bad for gays, and then, you know, they lose even more business or anything like that. But I know it's, you know, it has its challenges for sure.
Because we know, Jim Ferraros and his partner, Bill, they love to go to Jamaica all the time. They say they have no problems whatsoever.
Well, I think I could go.
Well, that's probably because Jim looks like his son. It's probably they just think it's a father and son traveling together.
Maybe so.
Just kidding, Jim.
We're just kidding. So our guests today have been Joel Cabrera and Brian Herb from Zoom Vacations. You can go to zoomvacations.com and learn more about gay travel. And they're certainly a source of information.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to have you guys on. And I don't know. Are we done with the show?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Because you looked at me like we're ending. So thank you guys for being on the show today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
I know.
And
it's really nice.
Guys will have to come back along some other time and talk about more about gay travel. So I would love to talk about travel.
We'll update you on our escapades around the world.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing that you should know is that we're getting a lot more travelers from all over the world joining our trips, not just U.S.-based people.
Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. So you're getting lots of Europeans and Canadians and stuff?
Such a great deal.
Yeah,
well, that's kind of like what the future of gay rights looks like, is that the world is opening up to us because we have the ability to step outside of the bars and the circuit parties and the specifically targeted gay events and be gay people socially all around the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and we're visible all the time.
Wonderful. I want to remind the listeners to please visit feastoffools.net, make a donation, buy a t-shirt. We can't do the show without your support.
Your financial contributions make the show happen. The featured music on today's show is the music by Eric Hyman. His song Open the Door is playing in the background from his album Resonate. You can learn more about his music through our website, feastoffools.net.
And I want to remind people that today's show is also sponsored in part by ApparelBuilder.com, your source for custom printing and embroidery with top brands for up to 60% off. Get those shirts custom printed at ApparelBuilder.com.
Expose yourself. They're fabulous.
That's it.
I have to get some shirts made, actually. I'm going to go to ApparelBuilder.com.
You should go to ApparelBuilder.com.
I'm going to go home. Seriously.
You know, the nice thing about ApparelBuilder is that they actually have a specific designer that you can chat with.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
nice.
He's really hot, too.
And they're local.
Oh, great.
And they're locally owned business. And unlike a lot of those other sort of online t-shirt companies, they actually screen print your shirts for you at the lowest possible prices they can find.
That's awesome.
It's not one of those horrible iron-on things. Oh.
So you get really good t-shirts. Actually,
that's really good.
That's a great t-shirt.
It's fantastic. All the Feast of Fools t-shirts are made, if they're not made by us, they're made by them.
Beautiful.
And they give the t-shirt, too. They have a good supply of different
They have American
apparel. Anything you want.
Oh, cool.
Or 100% organic cotton, all sorts.
Do they have 100% hemp t-shirts? That's probably
you can
really
do that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You
can't smoke them, but you can wear them.
But you look smoking hot when you wear them. That's the important thing.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, guys.
Thank you, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having us.
Bye-bye.
Through the winter window, your new family surrounding you. I remember how we